All right, what's happening, beautiful people of the internet? Today's Wednesday, October 12th. This is probably like the 200th episode. I think at the last episode, I said we were going to stop doing the prospecting show, but we got a couple trailers here, like four or five more episodes to go, I think, before we're actually going to wrap up this 2.5 years in the making. Today's episode, we got Lisa Laporte on twit.tv/advertise is the link you're going to want to go to. We're going to talk all things podcasting, media, advertising, helping you grow your business. Lisa, welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, I'm excellent. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's kind of cool because like some of the people that I talk to are, you know, most people are just business owners, right? They're business owners doing their thing in their world. They have no idea anything about podcasting, but they come on because they want to, you know, advertise their brand and grow and do whatever it is that they're trying to do. But you are an expert in this world, right? So what I like to do with people is kind of go through this past, present, future format of the show. And we'd like to hear all about you. Like what was your kind of, how did you get into this space? Tell us about that.
So first of all, my background, I'm a classically trained accountant. So I've been a former corporate controller, CFO, but I've always been with startups. And every time a startup would get to be about 300 or 400 people, I'd run because I'd want to sink my teeth in something new. So I had my own entrepreneurial business where I was a CFO services to go, and I ran into new media. So I started working with twit.tv and Leo Laporte 15 years ago. And I'm just like, that's it. I'm hanging my hat here. This is where I want to be. And about 10 years ago, I stepped into the actual sales process here at Twit because I didn't like how things were done. So twit.tv is an ad-supported podcast network. We cover technology shows. We have a unique format in that we only offer host-read ads on our network. So about 10 years ago, I worked with one outside sales broker and I'm like, you know, like how this is done. Everybody's like, how much money do you have to spend? When do you want to spend it? And that's it. And to me, I think people forgot to get back down to the, what are clients' goals? What are their needs? What are they trying to accomplish? So I pretty much stepped into this process, not even being a salesperson outside of selling what I can do, and decided to craft it around how I would approach a startup and run a business. So a lot of people, you know, if you're in sales and people go, oh, you're in sales, they go, ew, they want to run away from it, like used car salesman, politician, run. My attitude in sales is approach it from a partnership perspective. And I think a lot of people miss that. It's not about chasing a dollar. It's about finding partners that have products and services that will benefit your audience. In my case, you know, I have a tech savvy audience. So that's what we do. We really just pay attention to what our audience wants to hear about. And that's really how we win in sales.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about what's available in the marketplace, because I think there's a large portion of business owners that want to do advertising branding plays, not this direct response, like buy my stuff now or else, right? Sales funnel, bottom of funnel, running direct response ads. They want to do more of this branding stuff that you guys got going on, right? Where it's, hey, I'm going to have this insertion. It's going to talk about our product or service. It's going to be something that maybe could be attributed, maybe it's not. I know you guys have some UTM parameters and a couple other things you can do, but like it's more this top of funnel brand awareness. Like, you know, what should people be looking for when they're looking for this service as a business owner?
The first thing they should be looking for if they're going to come to a podcast network and they think they want to advertise on it is if they should be having a conversation with that network to start. First, to see if that is the right audience reach. A lot of partners that I work with will reach out and they're like, hey, I want to advertise in your network. And then I'll ask them like, okay, well, what are your goals? And I'll do a deep dive into their goals. What are their growth goals? And sometimes I discover their problems that they don't even know they have and the best way to move forward. And a lot of times some brands just don't know. They're like, oh, I want to reach everyone. I'm like, really? Are you sure you want to reach everyone? So I really think in our process, we really do a deep dive into the client's services and products to determine where they're at, what their goals are. We actually help our clients like with messaging if they do end up signing, you know, an order with us. Because a lot of people just go, oh, here, I just want to show you this. I have no, you know, nothing else to say other than, hey, come check us out. And my attitude is no, you need to also bring the why your product works, how it works. What are some case studies to add to it? And then once we determine if this brand makes sense to advertise on our network, we then really do a deep dive in the messaging and help them with their call to action. And as you said, some people do direct response. You know, some people complain like, oh, I did a podcast ad yesterday and it didn't like deliver a zillion things. The way podcasting works that's different than other forms of media is that you have to allow time for the podcast episode to drop. You have to give time for that to be downloaded and then listened to. So I always tell people, if you're going to go into podcasting, it takes 8 weeks after every ad drops to reach its fullest impact, because it's not like a TV show where you just saw it flashing by. It's on demand. So people are going to download it. They're going to have time to look at it. Then sure, you have to have time for them to go to your website. And a lot of brands are like, hey, I want to track. I don't really get it. So there are some ad tech tools out there. We use Podsites, and that just means there's a pixel in our audio feed, and then the client puts a pixel run of website on their website. So if you're doing a branding play or a direct response play, you can actually gauge the actual traffic you're getting from a podcast with it. Because without it, with a tech savvy network, nobody goes to a landing page or uses an offer code. They sure, Google the name. They go straight to the client's page. So a lot of clients, if they don't use ad tech, will complain. And the reality is, you really can't, because you are going to get traffic. You just have to have ways to look at it and you know, and to actually count it. So if people are in sales, please have conversations with people. It's not about closing the deal. It's about solving their need and actually helping them meet their goals.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting you talk a little bit about tracking attribution, because I think that's a big thing that most like agencies, tech, SaaS kind of companies are like, need to attribute this, need to attribute that. But here's the thing, like you see some social content today where people are, they put a YouTube video out, right? Gets 30,000 views. Then somebody goes to a free training that's in their description, then goes to their website, and then they end up being retargeted and they come through an ad. And it's like, well, what was the first attribution versus the last attribution, right? Because at the end of the day, it's like not always super clear like that. But these branding plays, like what you guys are doing, are probably the most important, because those are all net new people that have no idea who you are. And so they're just coming into the ecosystem. So like, you know, for someone like you, like, what do you recommend people start with, right? So they got to interview the ad network. They got to ask the right questions. They definitely have to have like a budget and a goal of what they're trying to do, so they know what to spend. But like, what should they be focusing on? Should they do a guide? Should they do a giveaway? Should they do a training? Should they, like, what is the thing that they should be giving to the audience so that they can actually convert that into business?
That's an excellent question. First of all, I always make sure that if somebody comes on my network and they want to do a podcast buy, I want to know what else they're doing. I'm recommending that they be elsewhere. It can take 7 to 10 touch points for anybody to, you know, make a purchase based on something they saw, something they've heard. So I like to ensure they're doing other things, because with our audience, you're going to get an interstitial ad that's going to do a proper introduction to the audience. So it's not going to be a 60-second ad. You're going to get a 2 to 3 minute ad read. It might even go longer if other hosts jump in. So to me, that solidifies it. If our audience is seeing they're getting serviced ads for this particular client, and then we bring it home with, you know, bringing home the messaging, oh, now I can tie it in and I've been seeing it everywhere, then that helps people make a purchase. So what I always recommend to brands, if you really want to entice people to act, is give them a call to action that's compelling and something you can live with for a long time. So don't do 75% off if you can't afford to do 75% off, but make it compelling. So I always tell people, if they throw out a 7-day free trial, I'm like, 7 days isn't enough. 7 days is enough to just sign up for it. Give them 30-day free trial. And if they end up going with your product or service, then give them 10 or 15% off. Some of our clients give like 30% off lifetime. So if you sign up today and you stay with us, we'll always give you 30% off between now and forever. So I always recommend people do a compelling, you know, call to action, something you can live with. That's the most important thing. Please don't give away the store, because if you later have to go, oh, I gave 50% off, but I can't afford it, I'm going to go to 5. That frustrates audience members. Yeah. Another thing I do also, that's why we have a conversation, is we have a minimum on our network, because you need to have a certain amount of presence, but sometimes it needs to be bigger depending on what you want to do. Sure. So it truly depends on what your goals are and what you're trying to accomplish. And the biggest thing that people leave out is why and how people should come to you. You know, if you're going to say to somebody, hey, I can save you a day a week, don't just say you're going to save them a day a week. Go, I'm going to save you a day a week by doing, because we can do this. This is how it works. Here's a case study and how sure, it's done. So I think a lot of brands just don't get the proper advice when they work with people, especially in the podcasting space. Yeah. I know that because I buy for clients. Yeah. So I've just taken the approach that, you know, we want to have conversations. We want to see if we can actually do something for someone. And sometimes it's not the right fit. Sometimes they go, you know what? We don't have budget. We're going to go over here. I don't say yes to everyone, because I really want things to be successful for brands. That's our entire approach. It has to work for our audience, and it has to work for the brand.
Yeah, and I think the point that you bring up is interesting is like, are they spending money elsewhere, right? Like that's a big part, because like if the only dollars they're spending is on podcasting, probably most brands are not going to be able to actually make money with that directly because they don't have anything else to support it, right? An asset, a giveaway, whatever. And to your point as well, like if you give away too much because you really want to have a great ROI on the front end, on the back end you get a terrible ROI because now you have like 1,000 customers that paid 50% off, which, you know, most businesses aren't running a 50% margin. So you're basically losing money at that point in a lot of cases. So, you know, let's say a company comes in, they think podcasting is a good fit, they go through the whole process with you and you think it's a good fit. What is typically the next step? Like what do they do after that? How did these ads get created? How did they get placed? Like tell us a little bit more about that process.
Sure. We actually have a little bit of a longer setup process because we're visual as well as audio. And we really take the time once we decide, hey, this is what we want to do. We sign what we call an insertion order. And we have to have the ad starting at a minimum 2 to 4 weeks out. Only 2 weeks out if they're actually going to move. Because then what happens after that is we go into our continuity process. So we send out a checklist. Here's everything we need to get from you. Here's a checklist on how your ad copy should look. Here's 3 examples of ad copy. Then we work with our client, because some clients go, oh my God, I have to make ad copy. I can't make ad copy. It's like, don't worry. We can write the ad copy for you. I have a full-time copywriter on staff. We have a graphics designer that helps with the lower thirds. So we help the client craft all their assets before a campaign begins. But the kicker for me is we schedule an onboarding call with the client and our hosts after we get the core of the foundation of the assets ready. And I have never left an onboarding call without improving the ad copy. That's where our hosts, I always tell the client to, dear God, have somebody technical on, because our hosts are tech savvy and they're going to ask hard questions. So they typically have somebody from the marketing team on, and no offense, the CTO, CISO, somebody shows up that can speak to the tech, because our hosts are going to ask really hard questions.
Yeah.
And we just make the ad copy better, because our hosts are like, oh, you do this? Well, that has to be in there, because our hosts know our audience better than anyone, and we only offer host read ads. So it's our host that's going to be delivering the message. So after that happens, then we kick off the first ad. It drops, clients see it. We send out courtesy commercials. So we let our clients get the interstitial ad read. We just say courtesy of Twit. We go, here, share this on social. You want to hear a personal experience from one of our hosts about your product? Share it anywhere you want besides paid media.
Sure.
So we actually have a plethora of offerings that most podcast networks don't do. And honestly, a lot of them don't even do what we do with, you know, writing ad copy, helping with graphics. It is our goal to walk our clients through catering to our audience, because we want to make it work for them.
Yeah.
And it has to be something that's going to work for our audience. So we actually take 2 to 4 weeks to set up anybody, because we want to do it right.
Yeah. And I think that's a big thing too, is like, because the podcast play is not like immediate direct response. I put it up today. I get it today. Like the results aren't compact like that. It really doesn't matter if it takes 2 to 4 weeks, right? Because it's going to be that, like you said, that 8-week delay after it drops. It's going to probably take multiple insertions, multiple episodes. Like there's going to be more to it than just here, you know, if you run a Facebook ad at $200 a day for this ebook, like you'll get downloads for the ebook in one day, but that's just like a totally different kind of model. Who are your guys' best customers? Like what do you guys look for? Obviously having, like you said, having the right budget, having a goal that's actually like makes sense for this, like a good fit, but like who are you working with mostly? Are they mostly tech? Are they big companies, small companies? Like tell us a little bit more about your ideal customer.
Our ideal customer is somebody that has services and products that are continuously being added to it. So we work really well for SaaS companies. We are 95% male. I keep trying to move that. I've gotten a couple of shows at 90% male. So anything for men is definitely perfect. We also reach decision makers. So we know our audience because we do an annual survey. I get over 10,000 responses in 2 weeks. That's how engaged our audience is. So we ask them like, hey, we're not going to invade your privacy. Help us out. So we're reaching C-level people. So we work with a lot of tech companies, SaaS companies work. Honestly, flowers and jewelry works around holidays. Everyone's like, really? Male audience? I'm like, they're married.
Yeah.
So, but typically anybody that has a product or service that they're constantly adding to and it's evolving work really, really well on our network. So that's what we want. We want more tech clients and people that just understand it. And we're looking for long-term partners. I have clients that have been on our network for 15 years. I have a client that's been on our network for 10 years in the online learning space because we do super well in that. And they only come back because we continue to work. So that's why I'm always, you know, we cater to lifelong learners. We cater to really, you know, intelligent fans. So, and they're all tech savvy. So anything in that realm works really well, you know, including tech products like cell phones and, you know, like Mint Mobile's on our network, ExpressVPN. So any of those types of clients tend to work really, really well for us.
Yeah, awesome. And for the people who are listening to this, because we have mostly, you know, like you said, men who are mostly over 40 that are listening to this podcast that run businesses, they're in tech and marketing and SaaS and that kind of ecosystem. I listen to the Prospecting Show because they're trying to grow their business and hear success stories from other people. Like, what's the best way for them to kind of plug into your system, like learn more about how they can work with Twit, that, you know, get on the phone with you, go through the process, see if there's actually a fit for their product or service?
I recommend people reach out to me at advertise@twit.tv. So there's myself and I have a VP of sales. And what we do is we schedule a 15-minute exploratory call. We're not about a hard sale. We're about finding the right match. So if you're really interested in learning to what we have to offer, feel free to email us. Also, if you go to twit.tv/advertise, you can see I have client testimonials. We have sample ad reads there, you know, so we can send out all kinds of information. We have case studies and things along those lines. And we could just, you know, see if we're a good fit and if it makes sense to move forward. And right now our 2023, you know, is open. So right now we're booking for next year. There's a little bit of inventory left this quarter, not much. I mean, we typically sell out well in advance. So there's a couple of spots open now if people are interested in, you know, trying to get something in for the holidays. But if not, you know, we're really looking for new partners for 2023 as we're renewing all of our existing ones.
Yeah. So again, if you're a business owner here and you're listening to the Prospecting Show, one of the things too, it was going to Q4 is, you know, pay for something this year, get it next year. I'm sure there's opportunities to get that in. A lot of people that I keep talking to one-on-one in our consulting calls are like, hey, I got to get rid of this income. We got a lot of net profit this year. I want to offset that. Like, if you're interested in getting that play set up for 2023, shift those expenses this year, get rid of the money now so you have a lower tax bill now, and then you can, you know, reap that next year. But again, go to twit.tv/advertise. That's the page where it has all the information. You can click a button on there and you can set up a call. But there's basically case studies, testimonials, videos. You can see some sample reads. But again, if you're like a SaaS company, you're like this 70% margin, you have a million customers, like whatever it is, like you're going to be able to take your product and plug it in here as long as there's good fit, right? And you and Lisa get aligned with that. But you're going to be able to plug this in and see that ROI long-term, right? So if you're somebody who's trying to do that, check out twit.tv/advertise. Lisa, before we wrap up this episode, is there anything else that you would like to say to the audience?
I just want to tell anybody who's out there who's selling in this environment, just acknowledge it. You know, are we going to a recession? Are we not going to a recession? Just don't stick your head in the sand and act like it's not happening. So to me, I'm like talking with our partners, how are we going to buy smarter, how we can convince, you know, audiences to remember they're going to look for brands that are still there in tough times. So remember that we're all in this together. Be conscientious of that. Maybe even give some recession discounts and things along those lines. So my whole thing is always keep it real and don't be afraid to acknowledge like where things are instead of acting like, oh, everything's great. So that's my one tip I want to leave with all you salespeople out there.
Awesome. Again, for those of you listening, twit.tv/advertise. Lisa Laporte, thanks for coming on the Prospecting Show and have a great rest of the day.
All right. Thank you.